This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
I am Glenda Geek, back live from Studio A here in Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Studio, W, because I have so many, from Phoenix, Arizona. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for August 24th, episode 1241, brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, Horse World.
It's Monday.
Monday is my favorite time of year.
This is Horses in the Morning with your lovable hosts, Jamie Jennings.
I am the queen. You listen to me.
I'm sorry that people are so jealous of me, but I can't help it that I'm popular.
Glenn the Geek.
You look especially radiant today, Your Grace.
I'm going to do a terrific show today because I'm good enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Happy Monday.
Everybody, thank you so much for joining us. It's Monday. That's so exciting. So Glenn has had all sorts of technical difficulties. So we are having to not put this show out live. We're going to put it out as a podcast. Glenn has pulled half of his hair out. He looks like a balding old man, I'm imagining. How you doing, buddy?
I look like that anyway. No, you know what happened is I had to tear this all complicated thing that we had to make after we got rid of Blog Talk, all the wires and the cords and the multiple computers to make this show work live. I had to tear it all down to go to Ada. And then when I came back and put it all together starting at 5 o'clock this morning, nothing worked, cooperated, or worked.
You know what this is? It's Helena's fault.
That's it.
It's her fault, totally. So then you put it all back together to go to Helena's house, then took it all back down to come home, and then you put it all back together. That's exhausting. I can't even hook up my stereo, my clock, and my oven.
Guess what's gonna happen from now on, Jamie? When we come out to your house, it'll be our next trip. Guess what's gonna happen?
You're gonna go shopping and buy a whole second set of everything.
You got it. I will never be tearing this down here again.
Smart move. It's like taking your show tack. You know, you should have some extra tack just for horse shows. Like, you know, I have my regular half chaps that I wear, but I bust out my nice show boots when I'm going to a show. You're going to need your show tack.
That's it. And, you know, you always get there if you don't have that extra set. You always get there without the girth.
You know, that's so true.
When we had our mobile shop, I can't tell you how many girths we sold because people forgot girths. Girths were the most common thing. We always had a large stock of girths because people always forgot their girth.
Girths are buckets. I always forget buckets, but I have forgotten the girth.
You can get away with forgetting a bucket, but the girth's kind of important if you intend on doing any kind of movement at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is true. So we've got a very packed show for everybody. I guess, do we not have Jennifer on here to tell everybody what today's show is?
She's not here. And
okay, I can tell.
And you can be glad she's not here because she is coughing and hacking. She got sick and had a cold the entire vacation.
Man, you guys are like Eeyore over there. Like, everything is terrible. I'm in a good mood. I had a great week. I enjoyed an entire week off while you guys schlepped around the country and carried your equipment everywhere. So I'm fresh and ready to go.
Good.
Now, I started looking through the show notes, and the first guest is J.R. Hull that Glenn is going to lead, and he's the founder of Open Trail. So we're going to talk more to him. And then I noticed that there was our second guest that Glenn is going to talk to Randy Thompson about a teleconference thing that he's like the center of. And then there's the next guest, which is Women in Rodeo, and Glenn's going to lead that guest. So I'm going to talk at the beginning, and then I'm just going to leave.
Oh, there you go. Okay. Well, thanks for your help. Appreciate it.
And then we'll do a Daily Whinny. How about that?
That sounds good. Let's do that now. Well, my Daily Whinny today goes out to two people. two hosts of the Horse Radio Network were in the news, Reese Coffler-Stanfield and her horse, Hello. Over the weekend, we're at the Young Horse Championships and did very well. They got a purple ribbon. What's that?
Wait, hold on. Who is this now?
Reese was at the Young Horse Championships, and they got a big purple ribbon.
Seventh.
Okay, I had no idea, and she didn't say. So, but she looked very happy, and Hello did very well. So I think that was one of the horses that she got recently over in Europe.
Oh, cool.
So it's a five. I think Young Horse is 5 years old, five or six. So
I ask who that was, because just at the moment that you were saying that, a thing popped up on my Facebook feed of a friend that won a ribbon, and she's in England, and everything is different over there.
Yeah,
blue is red, and red is blue, and everything's
this is United States, so I think we're good.
Okay.
And yeah. Also, Mary Kitzmiller, of course, hosts the Mary Kitzmiller episode here on Horses in the Morning once a month, competed in Poland at their version of Road to the Horse, and ended up, they... Over there, instead of doing quarter horses, wild quarter horses like here, they do warm bloods, of course.
What? Yes. Are you serious?
Yes, they do.
Oh, my gosh.
So she had 3 days to get a warm blood to the point where it was going to do anything. I think that's harder than a Mustang, actually.
My gosh, it probably is.
So she came in third over there, but she had a little bit of a tough horse, and she did. I gotta give her credit, because she said, I wasn't going to push this horse just for the sake of competition. I went as far as I could go with it, and that's just the way it is. So kudos on her for not thinking of the horse first and not pushing things beyond where they should be. So good job. Good job to both of them.
Well, I was going to give my Daily Whinny to Beholder, a superstar filly who ran a heck of a race over the weekend, but we have no audio, so I can't play a race. So we're just going to move on. And I'm going to tell you about Superman. Okay. And his name is Buck Davidson. Okay. Let me just explain to you what he did over the weekend. He was at the Richland, and he was doing the two-star Richland Horse Trials, which is, I think, in Michigan. And he had his two-star horse hung a leg, flipped over, and fell on him on cross country yesterday. Yesterday. Saturday. So the horse, he had one of those air vests on, but he forgot to put the canister in it, which just doesn't do any good if you forget the canister. So the horse falls on him and breaks a couple ribs. Does that stop Buck Davidson? No. An hour later, he gets on and runs the advanced cross country on his three-star horse and won. He continued to ride the horses the rest of that day. And then the next day, he had five horses that he did show jumping with in the three-star. Ballyno, Carvello, Wonder Mask, Copper Beach, Be Mine, Park Trader in the advance. He rode six horses the next day with broken ribs. Plus, an hour after getting crushed, he jumped up. He was like, he says, I'm not joking when I usually let Reggie go his own pace, but today I was a little too sore to go that fast. He was 4 seconds slow.
He gets that from his dad, I guess, the whole breaking bones and keeping going thing.
I can't even imagine. Sorry, I didn't tell that story very well, but it just blows me away. I had three ribs break, and I was in bed for a week on pain meds.
Did you see that I got to do an interview with Bruce Davidson while we were at ADA?
I did. I can't even imagine.
Yeah, he's super sweet. Nice. I mean, he came over. He was there supporting one of the vendors, one of the products that he endorses. And she brought him over, and we got an interview that'll be coming out in the Stable Scoop show here in the next couple of weeks.
Stable Scoop gets it? That's crap. Our listeners want to hear it. If you want to hear it, send a message to Glenn.
Actually, it was all about the product. We really didn't. We talked a tiny bit about him and, you know, how he's still out doing his thing. He looks good. I mean, considering, we're trying to figure out how old he was. I don't think we ever did determine that, but he still looks good. Still out riding.
He's like Ronnie Roberts' age.
And apparently Buck gets it from Dad.
Man, they're tough as nails. Just absolutely so tough. Anyway, so great weekend for Buck. He ended up winning the 3-star on whatever horse he was, Ron Reggie. So congratulations. I'm one of his 400 horses that he competes in the advanced level. Anyway.
Hey, forget all that crap. Forget everybody else. Let's talk about us.
Let's specifically talk
about you and the giraffe that you have bought. So what's the story?
Oh, so he passed the vet on Saturday. On Friday morning, I had him vetted. So this is a horse that, I'll go back a little bit, I kind of stumbled upon online. He was advertised as this dangerous monster of a horse, and of course, I show Chad, and he's very big and very impressive looking. And I show the picture to Chad, and it's like 45 minutes from here. And Chad's like, let's go look at it. Dangerous horse, giant thing, you know, terrible idea. Let's go see it. So we go see it. And he's a bully, but he's not dangerous. He just has gotten his own way too long. And he's so big that he intimidated his former owner. Now he's not easy. I'll tell you that. But he's really quiet. You know, he's really calm. He just, sometimes when he's ready to be done, he just turns and runs back to the barn, which is what he did repeatedly to her. And he's done a few times to me. So, but it didn't scare me. I can fix it.
So he's like Scooter. He has BBs, baby bolts.
These are BB's big bolts.
Oh. Yeah, I guess considering the size difference, yeah. Well,
there's no
we'll
baby
give you that.
Yeah, 17-2. So, but it's, you know, I feel fairly confident, especially after a riding lesson every day with Monty Roberts, that I can handle it. And so far, so good. And he's actually been really, really good. And I just said, you know, I'll ride him for a couple weeks. If I like him, we'll get him vetted. And if it works out, great. If it doesn't, great. And of course, like, he was totally perfect in the vet check. And I've never had a horse vet that clean. Like, there was nothing wrong with him. She's like, aside from him being a little weak behind, I mean, because he's 17-2 and he's done nothing. So he's super weak behind. But there was nothing on any flexion. So we bought him. And that was, I called her on Saturday and I said, we'll take him. And on Sunday, he about got me off. It's like he knew. He was like, oh, she bought me. I'm going to get her. You know, he played it really cool for 2 weeks. And then yesterday, I wanted to kill him. I was like, I can't believe I bought this horse. He's a monster.
Now, does it help if you ride him in the middle of the day when it's 120?
No, because I can't do anything when it's that hot. So it might help if somebody else would ride him in the middle. I'm not going to do it.
So is it just that he's green or he has a thing?
He's very green. He doesn't, you know, he doesn't know all his, like, he goes forward and he stops and he turns. But like, the right lead canter, he's just a big giraffe who's never cantered on the right lead. So you've got this large, lumbering, falling over, motorcycling kind of gait when you finally get the right lead canter after asking 400 times and left, 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 left. But it's a racehorse and they learn. But the thing is, he's gait sour. And so if you are on the right lead, he's only gait sour in the right lead because I think it's really hard for him. And I don't make him canter a long time, just about half of a circle. And if you pick up the right lead canter and you go anywhere towards the gate, which is on the other end of the arena, he turns left and bolts to it.
Wow.
And he's really big. And so yesterday, I thank God, Debbie Laux, Monty's daughter, sent me one of those giddy up ropes. It's not a whip. It's a rope and it's super soft and you can whack yourself with it and it doesn't hurt. It's pretty amazing. So I am water skiing on the right rein. Okay. My right hand is on the right rein. I'm on the 17-2 hand monster and I'm whacking him with this rope. I will win this fight. You will not go to the gate. And we're doing circles and I'm whacking him and whacking him. And I always win. You know, I mean, I'm going to win, but he'll figure it out. But thank God for that giddy up rope. I was whacking and he was like, what's going on? Because he's gotten away with it for so long. He would run to the gate and she would get off, you know, and that's the worst kind of trick.
You win.
You win. He was big and she was really scared of him. And I don't blame her. I mean, she's a dressage rider that's never been around an off-the-track thoroughbred, much less a giant one who's green. So she didn't understand what she was getting herself into. Whereas I've had 30 off-the-track thoroughbreds at least, these things don't bother me as much. I've never had one this big. But I find that Thor, my Mustang, was harder to ride than this horse by far because he was shorter and like quicker. This guy, he telegraphs everything. So
boy well, when you do bolt to the gate though, you probably get there pretty quickly.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, you know,
it's like three strides. Boom.
And it is further down. Are you wearing your vest? Did you put your CO2 cartridge in?
You know what? My God, it's too hot. If I fall, I fall. It's too hot to wear a vest. Good Lord.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah,
Jennifer said congratulations too, by the way. She was all excited also.
Good, good. Yeah, he's really cool. He's going to be really good. He just needs a little bit of boundaries. He's like a child, like a big, giant, huge child who just needs to understand what his job is. And once he gets it, he'll be fine.
Now, how old was he again?
He's seven.
Seven. Okay.
So I feel like he's young enough to adjust. But anyway, he's good. Storm and Norman. That's what
so
we call.
So that's the name we're settled on.
Well, his name is Storm in the Head, and we decided to call him Norman because Chad's favorite instructor pilot that he had when he was in flight training was named his last name was Norman and his call sign was Stormin. So
oh, there you go.
He was like, his name is Norman. We can't argue. And I'm like, yeah, it sounds good.
he kind of looks like a Norman, actually.
He does. Yeah. And to have him next to Edward, Norman and Edward, I think is hilarious.
And they're both fairly thin, so they must look like very lopsided bookends.
Between the two of them, it's just unbelievable how much feet. It's like Chad has been gone. He got home this weekend. He's like, "Where'd all the hay go?"
Our stock. I told you.
Yeah,
I warned you.
That's gone.
I warned you, bale of hay a day.
Yeah, it is. It is a bale of hay a day for sure. And then, yeah, the other thing I did, which was really amazing, was go and see the Salt River Wild Horses. You know, we covered them a little bit ago because of the fact that they were trying to round them up and basically sell them off to slaughter. And so there was a huge petition. Even our government got involved trying to stop them. And our senators, Jeff Flake and John McCain, got all involved. And so the roundup was halted for at least 3 months. So I figured I got 3 months to get my butt down there to see them at least. So my mom and Lucas and I went and we made a little staycation out of it. There's a hotel, hotel and casino. It's really close to that on the Indian lands. It's an Indian casino. So we went and stayed the night there, went and got up really early, drove down, saw the wild horses. And somebody told me, they were like, go to Butcher Jones Recreational Area. I don't know where that is. So I put it in my phone. It told me right where it is. And we drive in and we get there and there's nothing, no horses there, but we park and there's a little beach type area at this lake. And the lake kind of, the river runs into the lake and then the river runs out of the lake. So it's like a little holding area for water, you know? So this little beach area. So I thought, well, Lucas can go in there and play. It was hot. So, you know, I stripped my child down naked, as is the norm. And he runs into the water. And I'm not kidding you, Glenn. It was like I was somebody told me too. They were like, yeah, just hike up the trail. You'll find the horses. And I'm like, how can I hike with a stroller? I just can't. So we'll just sit in the water and we'll figure out what to do. And it was like the naked child runs in the water and it was like, Snow White has arrived at the water and they started coming down. It was like they all decided, hey guys, water break. Let's go. Let's go. We're taking a lunch break. And one herd comes down and it was a herd of about 12. Spectacular, spectacular. And they come down and there's a bunch of people at the water. And this is how amazing it is. It's like one girl's like, whose horses are those? And the other girl's like, them's the one on the news. Like, how do you guys not know about this? So the horses come down and they're drinking and eating their they kind of skirt around the people. And then another herd comes down. As soon as those guys leave, like a herd of seven or eight, there's mares and foals and the stallion. It was just like a study of wild horses. And then the next herd comes down. It was just such a beautiful thing. So if anybody lives around here, go stay at that resort and casino. I got it for $73 a night because I'm a member of AAA.
Plus what she lost.
I played blackjack for like an hour and a half, Glenn, and lost $5.
Oh, well, good. Well, but then it only cost you $79 a night.
Yeah. And the beers that I bought, because they don't give you free beers in Arizona casinos.
Really?
Yeah. And how degenerate of me is that to leave my mother and sleeping child up in the hotel room and go down and gamble?
Sounds perfectly normal to me. I give you full permission.
My mom wanted to nap and Lucas is napping. I'm like, sweet, I'm going to go walk around. And I'm like, beeline to that table. You know,
sweet. Well, I'm glad you got to see the ponies.
It was really, really cool. It was magical. I took a ton of pictures, but I just, you know, a real camera is like too much work to upload pictures anymore. So right. I took a couple with my iPhone and posted those, but I've got some really good ones in my camera. I will work on that this week.
All right. Very good. And post them over on Horses in the Morning Facebook page.
Okay.
All right. Let's talk about Omega Alpha Equine, and then we'll get to our first guest.
Well, Omega Alpha Equine is certainly helping out this skinny mini that I have, the giant giraffe in the back. I've already started him on Biotic 8, which is – Biotic 8 is a product that has – is a probiotic, but it has a lot of really different probiotics in it than any other probiotic – you know, the tubes that you buy that are refrigerated and you stick it in there. I don't trust those as much as I trust Biotic 8. It's fantastic product. I've also got him on GastroFX because I think that he's got a little bit of stress. You know, and so between those two products – they're so fantastic. And I'm going to report to you on Premare. I gave you know, Premare is a product that is for witchy mares. You know who you are.
Yep.
I'm not asking. I'm letting it sink into those girls that have them witchy mares because I gave some to my neighbor who's got a super witchy mare. So she's testing it out and she's going to get back to us. I also just answered a question for a listener who was asking what the product was that I used for the chill kind of factor at a horse show. And I used Equine Chill and it comes in a tube and you can just squirt it up or you can draw it out. Depends on how much you want to buy. But I really think that if I didn't use Equine Chill, I might be dead. Cause it chilled them out a little bit, but not enough. But
doesn't make them groggy.
Super crazy. No, it didn't make them groggy. Not at all. It still kept them. But like I said, it just took the edge off a little bit. I really feel like I could have been dead if I didn't give them the Equine Chill. So those are all the products that I use and love. And I've just got a sample of Regenerex, so I'll give you guys the word on that once I try it out. And then Minerex is also just a great powder. Have I gone through their entire product line that I use?
No. Well, that you use, but not their entire product line because there's like 100 of them.
Yeah, I know. They're amazing. So OmegaAlphaEquine.com.
Well, our first guest today is J.R. Hull, founder of Open Trail. And Jamie, you know, I know you just recently did an interview about trail riding in the United States, and this would have been a perfect resource for you.
If only I'd have known.
I know. Well, we're day too late here. So, J.R., you're with Open Trail. Explain what that is.
Open Trail started as a project where I can actually record the trails that I ride in my local area. And then after I had used it for a couple months, I showed it to a few friends and they said, hey, that's a great resource. So I decided to build it up. And as I was building it up, I started doing some research on trails and discovered that there was really no way of monitoring or tracking people using trails. So it morphed into a project where I could start collecting data on trail usage through the U.S. and use the data to help the industry preserve trails, put new trails in and things like that.
Well, I'm on the website now and you got trails in here from all over the country. And this is a great idea because a lot of times you're going someplace and you want the only way you find out a trail is talking to the locals, right? I mean, that's the only way you find out what the good horse trails are. But this is a resource, if you're traveling, you could use this anywhere.
That's correct. In fact, we actually just recently added an interactive map where you could actually start looking at local horse camps also. So if you're traveling to Missouri and you want to find a horse camp, you could actually just type in Missouri or even the name of a horse camp if you know it, and it will show you where the horse camp is located and what trails have been ridden in that area.
I like this too. I'm on here and I'm actually on a trail that's in Kansas, Lawrence, Kansas, and I went into it, and when you bring up the map of the trail, it also has view, terrain, and weather, and you click on that and it actually gives you a topographical map of the terrain, and it shows you what the weather is right now and coming up in the next couple of days. This is really advanced and cool.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, it really comes down to the fact that there was no real resource out there for the trail rider. You know, there's a lot of great websites out there that show where trails are for hikers and things like that, but nothing really solid for people who like to, you know, you're traveling with your horse, you want to hit a destination, you want to make sure that the trail's there, you want to make sure that the weather conditions are perfect for it.
I'm actually taking a look, and I'm sure Jamie's doing the same thing now to see what trails are in her area. I was taking a look at Florida to see all the different trails down here. How do people... Go ahead, Jamie.
Oh, I was just going to say, is there... I can't imagine a better thing for a trail rider than this in the app form. Is that something that you guys are talking about, or are we years away from that?
Repeat the question one more time.
I think that this would be a fantastic app for riding, just to have the app on your phone, just go open trail, boom, and it kind of shows you what's around you. Is that something you guys have talked about, or is that already a go?
That's already a go. We're still exploring different options on the application. We currently have an app available for the iPhone through a company in France called Easy Trails. And they were kind enough to be able to write an interface directly into Open Trail. So you could actually use their application, ride a trail, and submit it right there on the trail. As far as Android and other platforms, we're still investigating how to put that together and trying to basically raise the capital to have that developed.
Nobody uses Android anyway, so. Except for Glenn.
Do you know what? Actually, Android now has exceeded... Android's about 70% of our app usage and only about 30% iPhone.
If you live in Asia.
No, right here.
All right, whatever. Hey, just kidding. Didn't mean to start a fight. Didn't mean to start a simmer down now. Now, what I'm looking at here is I'm on Open Trail in the Arizona trails. And I wonder, like, the first one is a 44-mile trail in Meyer, Arizona. The next one is a 30-plus on the North Rim Canyon. The next one's a 38-mile.
You could finish the 44-mile trail with your new horse in about 10 minutes.
Yeah, I don't do that long. is there, like, a 2-mile trail somewhere? These are unbelievably challenging. How cool.
Yeah, they are. And most of these trails have been submitted by users that are in our ride program, which is the Top Trail program. And when I initially started this project, I wanted to be able to find a way to encourage people how to ride. And so we developed a Top Trail, and basically we have sponsors. So every month we give away some kind of award for the person that has the most miles. And then when we initially started, what happened was we started getting trails from a lot of endurance riders, you know, and this is where you start getting into 20, 30, 40 mile trails. But we also have some casual riders out there that average about 4 to 6 miles a trail.
I'm looking for those.
I think Arizona is ranked number 14 or 15 in our stats as far as the number of people submitting trails. If you go into like San Diego, California, you'll see a lot of trails there that run anywhere from 4 to 8 miles. So, considering that we've only been in business for 18 months, You know, we still have a few little bugs to work out here, but, you know, it's, you know, the whole idea is that, you know, you could actually go out there and start, hey, if you want 2 mile trails out there, you know, saddle up, GPS up, and start submitting your 2 mile trails for the Arizona area.
Excellent.
You know, the whole concept, the whole concept is just share your riding experience with other riders. And at the end of the day, you know, all this data comes back to Open Trail, and we'll be able to start releasing this data to trail associations who want to put in more trails or actually want to save a trail that the government's trying to close down.
How do the people submit a trail? How do you track the trail and actually get it to you?
The way we do that is through GPS. So there, like I said, we have an application available on iPhone. And there are some applications that are or for the Android that you just install on your phone. You record it, and then at the end of the day, you go to the website and you upload that GPS file to Open Trail. And then Open Trail records it, it analyzes it, and then puts it in the appropriate spot.
Wow.
Okay, Jamie, I'm looking at one here in Florida that's not too far from us, actually. And this one, you would like this one. It's only 1.7 miles.
Perfect.
But it does appear that the person was either very drunk or the horse was rearing and spinning a lot, because there's a lot of curly cues on this trail. So I don't know what was going on there, but I think alcohol was involved.
Could be. That's how they only made it a mile and a half.
That's right. And you know what? They did not end at the same place they started. So I don't know what that was about either.
It fell off.
Well, the trails in 2016, we're planning on doing a little bit more quality control. We're actually grading the trails. And what I mean by grading the trail is that the track points are very pristine and very precise. It records things like elevation and times and things like that. So you'd be able to come into the site and say, I want to look at the top quality trails. And it will show you, you know, the trails submitted that have recording points every 5 feet instead of every 15 feet. And that's where you get in the curly cues and the jagged lines, is that the device is not recording every step.
So it's not alcohol?
No, well, we hope not.
Is it going to be under the new system? Is it going to be a breathalyzer test before they start to have to blow in their phone?
Well, I'm writing that down right now. That might be a good marketing idea.
These are the sober trails. These are the trails for the drunk folk. Well, JR, this is awesome. Thank you so much for joining us and talking to about this. This is such a vision that you guys had, and it's so exciting to see that vision play out. And I know we're going to get a lot more people that are following along. I know I will. If I can find some that are under these darn endurance riders are just tougher than everybody else. So,
I actually do have people that are not endurance riders that are putting in 400 or 500 miles a month.
Oh, good Lord. Oh my gosh.
That would
amazing.
Be Karen Chatton, our host of the endurance episode. She's probably the one out there doing that.
He said they're not endurance riders though. So
No, they're not.
Those are career trailers. And you always know them when you see them on the trail, because they look like they fit in their saddle. And they can't get out.
Right.
That's right. They haven't left it in months.
They haven't left it. All right, JR, thank you so much for being on the show. We really appreciate it. And the website is opentrail.us and toptrailhorse.net.
That's correct.
Very good. Thanks. Thanks a bunch.
All right. Thank you, guys.
So there you go. When you get the big boy going, when old Storm of Norman's going and 40 miles in 10 minutes, you've got a trail.
See, you're forgetting that I have this plucky little Mustang who is a trail champion.
That's true.
He'll be the trail guy.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think Storm of Norman's supposed to be your Rolex Aventor. So
Yes.
We'll give you a few years for that. We're going to do this. We're going to take a break for our song, and then we're going to come back with more show for you. We haven't talked actually since our trip at all. So I got to give you a little rundown on our trip, and also Ada. We haven't chatted about that at all either. So we got a lot more coming. We have a couple of guests coming up and a lot more fun for you. Hi, Glenn here, back with you. And I have Debbie with Equestrian Collections with the Equestrian Collections product of the week.
Hi, Glenn. This week, I want to remind everybody in horses is familiar with joint supplements for their horses. But I am going to tell you about a product that we sell that is actually for people. It is the Cosamin ASU supplement. And the reason I feel so comfortable talking about this is I use it, and I had some pretty major reasons to use it lately. And I have also recommended it to two other friends who have used it, and they love it. And it was referred to me by my vet, whose husband uses it. So I feel real comfortable that this is a joint supplement over and above any of the over-the-counter glucosamines that you can buy at your grocery store. This also has MSM in it, which horse people are familiar with, which not all the joint supplements in the world have that. It's a little bit expensive, but I'm telling you, it works so well that I feel like it's worth the extra money for this Cosamin ASU supplement. It's made by the same folks you get Cosequin from, only this one is for humans. So take a look at that at www.equestriancollections.com.
And I can tell you that my wife uses it. She has worn a knee brace for 20 years. She started using Cosamin ASU about 2 years ago after trying many, many others, and no knee brace anymore, and she religiously takes one every day.
This is the fourth, then, recommendation that I've had from people who actually need it. And you don't have to just take one. There's a buildup. You can take two in the morning and two at night if you really need it, and then ratchet it down a bit. It's absolutely the best thing and that I have found for joint pain in humans.
All right, very good. You can find that at equestriancollections.com. Just search for Cosamin, Cosamin ASU. You'll find that just by doing the search.
You make me believe that I can do anything, and
You're listening to Horses in the Morning. Unfortunately, it wasn't recorded live this morning. We are recording it, but it wasn't live. We had a little technical problem getting everything put together after vacation.
And by we, we use finger quotes. That means we had a problem.
I got up at 5 this morning and thought, oh, this will be easy. I'll just get everything put together, get the show notes ready. And pretty much, what was it, about 2 minutes before the show was starting, I was telling Jamie, nope, this ain't going to happen. So,
you know, what's it? How difficult is it to get up that early and try to function? I mean, you poor thing. I feel so sorry for you.
Hey, we had a great time last week. We went to Ada. Ada was a lot of fun, by the way. Helena came down and...
Jennifer texts me and she's like, yes, there are a special on riding breeches. Do you want some pants? And I saw some red ones in the picture. Did Jennifer buy me any riding pants?
She bought you like 5 pairs.
Yay!
We're going to ship them out to you now. Some of them are colorful. You will be
seen. I wanted colorful. I wanted
She got you and her matching set to wear when we come out.
Oh my God!
They are very colorful, let me tell you. So, yes, she did get you a bunch of pairs of riding pants. It was a good show this time.
Can you take it out of my paycheck? Is that what we're going to do? Or are you going to send
you
a check?
We're going to send them as a gift.
Yeah, she texted me that. I'm like, oh, my God, give me 5 pairs of the craziest ones you can find.
She did.
She did it. Yay!
She did. There are some crazy ones. But we're going to send those over to you. She has them all ready to go in a box. So ready to ship those out. It was fun. We had a good Ada. We recorded a lot of stuff for the Tack and Habit segment over on Stable Scoop. And then we did our show, which apparently worked better than this one last Monday. That went off without a hitch, and everything was good. And then we met with a lot of our current sponsors and got to chat with them. And then we headed out to Helena's. We drove up to Rhode Island, spent about 3 days with Helena. Jennifer and Helena went out riding a couple mornings. Now, Jennifer got a cold the day we left for Helena's, and it just kept getting worse and worse. So we didn't do as much as we had hoped we were going to do while we were up there, but we had a great time. Helene and Buck were so kind, and Gracie, and we had a good time there. And I'd never seen their farm before. They're only about a mile from the beach. And I will have you know, I went to the beach in Rhode Island where the water was freaking cold, and I actually went in the water. I actually went in the whole way into the water.
Why would you do that?
I don't know. They were all out doing it, and it kind of looked like fun. Now, it was really cold compared to what we're used to here in Florida. I mean, I think our pool's up to 90 degrees. Yours must be 110. Yours must be like taking a bath.
It's pretty awesome.
I mean, guess when it's 115, 92 degrees, and the pool seems cool.
It's cold.
But this water, I mean, it was really cold. But it was fun. We had a great time at the beach. And then we went down to Newport. They were having the coaching festival there, and David Saunders and Gloria Austin were there. I saw lots of pictures from the weekend. We didn't get to go to that. We actually headed out the day that started, but we did some touring of Newport and a couple of the mansions, and then we took the long drive home, visited my brother on the way, which was nice, in Connecticut. So we had a nice, relaxing vacation until I got back this morning. Then it was back to work.
So you didn't get eaten by sharks in the ocean is what you're saying.
Didn't see any sharks. Although I did notice, and I've always said this, and I still think it's true, that the water just has more crap in it up there than it does down here.
Yeah.
You know, there's like seaweed and, you know, just crap, just more crap in it. Down here, the water just seems so much nicer. I don't know. I could be making that up.
No, you're a homer. You're a homer. You like to be home, like your own beach. But the beaches in Florida are just second to none. They're amazing.
Yes, especially Siesta Key, down where Wendy lives in Sarasota, is just like the most beautiful beach I've ever seen.
That's great.
But it was nice. We had a good time traveling and doing all of that up there. We got home, and my pony is, I think, gained as much weight as I did.
Yeah, I saw that you taped that. And now I did find a news story that kind of related to that that popped up this morning in my little search. And the news story about horses are fat horses more dominant than the lean ones? Is Scooter in charge, or is Beaker in charge because he's fatter?
Well, see, they're both fat, so I don't know that I can say that. Scooter would like to think he's in charge because he's a pony.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's true of most ponies. They like to think they're in charge. And then Beaker just tolerates him and then every once in a while pelts him and gets rid of him and puts him in his place. But no, all ponies like to think they're in charge.
There was a study done in the UK that...
But then most of them are fat too, so you might be right.
Yeah, that recruited 194 horses and ponies from 42 different herds, and the horses in each herd had lived together for at least 1 month. They gathered information on sex, age, height, their body condition score, and whether the horses were obese. And in the end, the fat and the little fat ponies were in charge. The smaller animals were more likely to be obese than the larger ones, and the obese ones were the most likely to be in charge. So that would lead you to think that fat ponies rule the world.
We have a lot of horses in our neighborhood, just like you do. And there's this horse up here. It must be a quarter horse or something. And it has this little white mini in the field with him. And that mini is the meanest thing I've ever seen. The other horse is probably 15 and a half hands, typical quarter horse, right? This mini is rearing up, kicking him. He stands on him and bites his neck. I mean, this mini is just all over this horse, and I feel so bad for the horse. I don't know why he just doesn't, you know, pelt him one, but
it's so maybe to him.
What you're saying is true. It's just, I feel bad.
It's the truth. They did a study. I mean, that's not a small study. Like, anytime you get that many horses, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, usually when we see studies in the horse world, they're five horses. We looked at five horses, and we've determined that that's what it is.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what it all is. You know, I really wasn't following any of the news out of the horse world all week. Did you see anything fun? I didn't see any news.
The fact that Beholder is a older mare and she beat all the boys in the Haskell was amazing. I'm sorry, not in the Haskell. She beat all the boys in big stakes race in Del Mar. Just incredible. Amazing performance. Zenyatta-like. And then the other news that I had is, get this. This weekend, am driving to Del Mar, California to go to Del Mar Racetrack. I, while you were gone, got myself a media pass to go to Del Mar Racecourse, which, by the way, is where our friend American Pharoah is staying with Bob Baffert. And so I'm heading to Del Mar with a media pass. I'm going to meet American Pharoah. And this morning, I read a story. It's official. American Pharoah is going to the Traverse at Saratoga for next weekend.
Leaving tomorrow.
Yes, I'm going to miss him. I can't believe it. So we now plan what are you going to do? Whole trip to go stalk American Pharoah, and he's getting on a freaking plane and driving to the East Coast or flying to the East Coast. Can you believe it? I'm so proud of myself. I got the media pass. I've already mailed me my parking pass. I'm ready to do this. He's not going to be there. Are you freaking kidding me?
Oh, geez.
I thought you'd like that one.
Only you. Are you going to go? Me. Are you still going to go?
Yes, I'm still going to go. There's other horses there. I don't know who they are, but we'll get to play the races. No, I've always wanted to go to Del Mar and to watch the races there. So now,
what does a media pass get you at Del Mar?
Well, you know, at Keeneland, the barns are open to the public. But they're not open to the public in any other place. So to have a media pass would mean I could go back on the backside and meet American Pharoah. If he was going to be there. Are you freaking kidding me? Are you kidding me? I'm so excited he's going to run in the Travers. It's going to be insane. I cannot believe I planned a whole trip to California to go see this horse. And he's not going
to
be there.
That's Where's a long trip guest? To go to the track.
It is a really long trip.
Just to go to the track to watch some horses run.
That's expensive. It's not cheap.
TVG
to go to...
would probably be cheaper. Just saying.
I cannot believe I get this last night. It's official, American Pharoah to the Travers. Son of a bitch.
Now, is the Travers this weekend coming up?
Yeah, it's this weekend. Yeah, of course it's this weekend. That's
you could go there.
Del Mar.
Be a longer trip, but you could go to the track. I could be, you could probably get press passes there too. Oh no! Wait a minute. NBC, ABC, Fox, all of them are beginning press passes there.
I don't want to talk about it anymore. When's the next guest coming on?
That's the reason you got a press pass to, what was that, Del Mar? That's the reason you got a press pass to Del Mar is you were the only press interested in going that day.
Apparently. Really? They're like, oh, sure, we'll send it right out. I was like, really? Okay.
Yeah. Well, you saved your $2 admission.
Stupid. I know. It's like a dollar to get in. I was like, oh, I have a press pass. I don't have to pay that dollar. Ridiculous.
$80 in gas to get there. Well, right before we left, our good friends over at Horse Nation did an article on the Horse Radio Network. It was very well done, and I want to thank them for that. Leslie could not be here today. She was on a plane, but we're trying to get her for Wednesday or Friday of this week because she has a lot to talk about. She went to the Olympic preview down in Brazil, has to talk about that. And then she went to Iceland. And
she's had an amazing, I did see on Facebook, she said she's really glad to be home.
For about 10 minutes, I think. but she said she was flying this morning, so she couldn't be here, but we are going to try and get her later in the week to talk all about her adventures. But they did an excellent article on the Horse Radio Network. It was very well done and very well received. I got so many comments on it, and we really appreciate them doing that. Heard all about it, actually, at Ada. A lot of the people there had read it, so that was kind of neat. And that was all about us being in the top five of all the podcasting networks in the world now. And thanks to that article, I've been asked to do a bunch more interviews, so I'm going to be a very busy guy over the next couple of weeks. One of the things that happened this year, and it's kind of cool after all the years of hard work we've put in, is that I've been named as one of the movers and shakers of the horse world this year.
Woohoo!
So we're going to have Randy Thompson on, who has been a guest on our show years ago, and she's going to come on and talk about what that is and how you all were going to do a recording tomorrow night on Tuesday night, and we're inviting our listeners to stop by. So we're going to get Randy on, and we're going to talk about that. Well, Randy, thank you so much for joining us this morning. I just told everybody a little bit about the honor that you've bestowed upon me, and I really appreciate that. Tell us, what is the movers and shakers of the horse world?
Well, the movers and shakers of the horse world, and congratulations, Glenn, by the way. Yeah, this is really, you've made such a difference for so many people. But the movers and shakers actually started in 2012. And we started it on Facebook as a way to be able to promote people that were making a difference in the horse world. And so it's continued until now, where we actually have a panel of secret experts who are well-known in the horse world and also active on social media. And they're the ones who brought together a list, and everybody looked at the list together and discussed it and that type of thing and kept watching. And you were right there on the top of the list.
It was my wife part of the secret panel?
No.
Jamie, you didn't tell me.
Well, you're just you're a shaker, Glenn. You're just a mover and a shaker.
Yeah, I've never been quite, I've been a shaker for a long time since I gained weight, but this is definitely an honor. You know what? I wish you had room, though, up there for all of the hosts, because they're really the ones, like Jamie and Jennifer and everybody, are the ones who have made the Horse Radio Network the success it is.
I agree. You're so lucky to be surrounded by such an amazing team of people.
Oh, go on.
No, it's true. You know, you guys have made such a big difference in the horse world, and everybody's talking about what you've been doing. You know, you've brought the horse world the gift of entertainment. At the same time, you've introduced us to some of the leading equestrians and horse thought leaders from around the world. No one has done what you've done.
Well, you know what?
Go ahead.
I think we forget what our mission statement is. I'm not even sure Jamie could tell you what our mission statement is at the Horse Radio Network, to be honest. But the mission statement is just one line. It's uniting the horse world through entertainment and education. So, that is the mission statement that we started with day one before we started Stable Scoop, was uniting the horse world through entertainment and education. And we really wanted the entertainment to be first, and I think we've accomplished that. But I'm always surprised when people say, I've learned so much. Because, our first goal is to entertain people. We hope that they learn something along the way. And if they do, it's a great thing. But one of the first part of that mission statement is uniting the horse world. And we just felt that the horse world was so diverse. You got the English and Western and then all the different silos underneath English and Western. And, I always thought people would be willing to listen to information about different disciplines and things they have maybe thought they never had an interest in. And this being the most popular show proves that. I mean, because we cover everything. And people listen because they like to hear about other things in the horse world. So in that sense, I think we have accomplished part of that goal, is uniting the horse world.
Yes, and more than in just your radio thing, you're out there promoting what you're doing at events. So what I like best is you're also promoting other people and making them visible to people who would never have an opportunity to have met them otherwise.
Well, thank you for that. That's one of the things we have strived to achieve here. We do work hard at it, and it is a lot of work to do what we've done and to accomplish what we've accomplished over the years. And Jamie will tell you, because she gets up at 5 in the morning. Did the time change soon, Jamie? Are you going to get some relief soon?
I think it's November, so I got a while.
It's a while yet. So, but all of us do. I know all of the hosts are busy and they have lives and they take time, and they certainly don't make much money. So they take time out of their busy days to do what they do and really to bring you a little piece of their worlds. And I think that they have done that very well. And thanks to the medium that we have in podcasting now becoming so popular, I think we're going to get out there to more and more people.
Yes, and I wanted to congratulate you also on being chosen as one of the 5 top podcasts in the world by the 2015 Podcast Movement. Good for you.
Yeah, it's fun to be out there with the big guys. I just got asked yesterday. I got a call to be a keynote speaker at a podcasting conference in Miami in November. And I said, are you sure you have the right person? Because the keynote speaker is usually like the biggest speaker. And I'm like, are you sure you're calling the right number? Maybe you wanted the other guy. apparently they did.
Apparently other people feel, as I do, a lot more value for what you've been doing and what you do than you have thought about before. I mean, you were even featured in the Eventing Nation. They did a feature on you.
Yeah, we just talked about that. They did an excellent article. It was very nice of them to do, and they're good friends of ours over there. But now there is an event coming up tomorrow night. Why don't you tell us what's going to happen there?
Oh, that's the Movers and Shakers of the Horse World, where we're featuring Glenn the Geek.
So what happens? I don't even, I'm not even quite sure. So fill me in too.
Well, what happens is we're basically going to interview you and talk a little bit about what you've been doing and how you've created the magic of the Horse Radio Network.
And how do people, if listeners want to attend, how do they do that?
Well, the easiest way to do that is go to, because most of your listeners are on social media, go to either Movers and Shakers of the Horse World on Facebook or How to Market Your Horse Business, and they'll see the link there where they can go.
Okay, so Movers and Shakers of the Horse World on Facebook. We'll also post a link to it on our Facebook page as well. But they have to sign up. It's not the thing where they can just go listen. They can listen live, but they have to sign up, right?
Yes, that's right. We have a sign-up link there, and that's nice because that way people who don't have the time to listen to it as we do the live broadcast can also listen to the replay, and they'll have the access to the other Movers and the Shakers of the Horse World that we've announced this past year.
Well, I know.
That's what I was going to ask. I'm sorry, Glenn. Do you have the recordings? And, you know, it just makes sense, being that you know one of the guys that's in charge of the top 5 podcasts in the entire world. You should make this a podcast.
That's a good point, Jamie.
I mean, I know somebody you could talk to about making that
part of it too.
Oh gosh, you don't want the brains.
You guys are such a great team together. So, would you like to hear the other people that were
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Takers of the Horse World this year old.
Yeah.
Well, we started and we didn't put them in any particular order. Only 6 people were chosen this year.
Okay.
And the way that the order is simply the way that we could fit them into the schedule.
Okay.
So we have Leith Good of Professional Equine Grooms.
Oh, yeah.
She's on your show.
Yeah, we've had her on. Yep.
And people can find more information on them at proequinegrooms.com. Then Debbie Metcalf.
Oh, yeah.
Dolan Horse International. Yes, you know her.
Our friend Debbie, yeah.
Yes, and that's at netposse.com. Wayne Williams of Speaking with Horses TV.
You know, Wayne co-hosted this show one day. He actually came down to Ocala, and we went over to a local trailer dealership, and we had some of the minis of that Gentle Carousel.
Oh,
yeah, Gentle Carousel. Some of the minis came over and visited.
Ponies. Yes.
Yeah, yeah, Wayne's a good guy.
Yeah, they're amazing. Those ponies are amazing, too. Anyway, so Wayne's website is speakingofhorses.com. Then we have Fran Jurgra. I don't know if you have hoofcare.com.
Yep.
She's a specialist in hoof care and lameness.
Yep.
Then we had Christy Landwehr. You've also have her with your radio show.
Yep. She hosts once a month. Yeah.
Yep. She's from the Certified Horsemanship Association, and that's at cha-ahse.org. And then, of course, you.
You
now,
know, every,
let
every...
me let me point out, Glenn, that you know she said they're in no particular order, but I was keeping track, and you're 6th out of 6.
I know, so. I did notice that. I took note of that,
no, that
too.
It was just strictly the schedule.
I figured they were leaving the best for last. See, that's my thought. That was my thought. Jamie obviously went the other way with that. So,
right.
Yeah.
That's my job.
Well, Jamie, now you know.
Well, I'm not even a mover and shaker. Glenn is. So, you know, you're just 6th place is all. That's the green ribbon, by the way, in case you were wondering.
I was wondering what ribbon that was.
Oh, that's too funny. But you know that's not true. The only reason they're in the order they were was because that's when we could schedule to see people.
Hey, don't let her give you crap. She has a lot of green ribbons. I know that.
That's true.
Well, I think we all do.
It's one of my
favorites. We know what's a ribbon anyway. But
hey, I think that first place should have been green myself, right? Green means go. You know?
It means go.
Yeah.
Unless you're in Europe, and aren't those the red ribbons? Our first
Yeah,
place?
They're all different. Everywhere you go, the ribbons are different. But I'm going with green is the best. That's what I think. All right, so we'll post this on our Facebook page. Thank you so much again, Randy. I really appreciate all of your support through the years, too. You were one of our very first guests way back, probably 6-7 years ago. So we really appreciate
Not
you.
Not that you're old. Not that we're saying that. Just we started with you, but it wasn't a long way. Glenn, you said way back.
It was way back. It was like 7 years now. It's been around for a long time.
It's an illusion, isn't it? I mean, we move so fast, we can't even keep up with ourselves. But again, congratulations, Glenn, for being one of the 2015 Movers and Shakers of the Horse World. You make a difference in the horse world.
The horse world
is a better place because you are in it.
Well, thank you very much, and we'll see you tomorrow night. We'll have a little party on Tuesday night.
All right.
All right, sounds good.
Talk to you soon. It's a pleasure, Jamie. Bye-bye.
Thanks,
Bye.
Randy.
She's never so calling nice. Back. She's never having you on again.
I think she regrets it now.
You were sixth place. I'm just saying.
I know. I see that. I like green ribbons. Apparently you do too. So, I mean.
I'm more of the brown. That's eight.
Now, we were trying to determine. So purple is after green. So I beat Reese is what I'm looking at here.
Is brown next? I don't know. You know, all my ribbons start to look the same after enough years.
Yeah, they all just turn brown gray. Well, that's fun. Thank you so much to them for doing that. And I'll post a link to it. If you have to actually like sign up to join this event, I think because you can all talk and stuff. I don't know. I've never done it before. So, but you do have to sign up. So if you want to join us tomorrow night, maybe some listeners will come out. That would be great. And we'll post a link to it. Well, coming up next, we have a couple of new things coming on to Horses in the Morning. We had a couple of spots to fill, and one of the new things starts tomorrow, Jamie. You're going to get to meet in just a minute here Heather Cannon, who is going to be doing a segment called Women in Rodeo. And I noticed some of our listeners were posting that they're looking forward to it, that they've had a rodeo past. So she's going to come on and host with us. I actually met her at the Florida Podcasting Conference. She was looking at getting one started. She has a blog and does quite a bit with Women in Rodeo already. So let's have her on, and we'll talk about tomorrow's show here on Horses in the Morning. Hi, Heather. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So today you're a guest, tomorrow you're a host. Jamie, could you give her hosting 101 with Glenn?
Well, first of all, I was thinking that you should have much more of a Southern accent.
Or Heather.
I'm talking about Heather, honey. Oh. You're a woman in rodeo. It's like you need to be from Texas and you just need to have that and just say it and just own it.
No, I don't. It's not like that. That's for sure. I have some, but not like that.
I was expecting it to be thicker. I'm not going to lie.
Are you from Florida, Heather?
I am, born and raised.
Well, yep. See, that's why she doesn't have an accent. We're all imports here. Nobody has an accent in Florida.
You said we're on from Women in Rodeo. It's going to be a new show. And I swear to God, I thought it was going to be somebody from Texas. I just knew it.
No, born and raised in Florida.
All right.
Heather, what is Women in Rodeo?
So the show's going to be all about education and motivation. We'll have women at the professional level on and interview them, and hopefully their stories will in some way inspire those that hope to follow their footsteps.
Well, you know, we have a lot of Western riders, and we have a lot of, we have some barrel racers. I know we have a little bit of everything that listens to this show, so I'm glad that we are bringing more on the Western side of things to the show, and I appreciate you doing that. I met you at the Florida Podcasting Conference, and it was very nice of them to introduce us, and I'm excited to get this started. So
me too. I tell people all the time that I'm blessed to have met you, and to now be working with you.
Look at that, Jamie. Jamie does not say that anymore. She's been working with me for 5 years, and every morning she gets up and goes, oh, I'm not blessed to have met Glenn.
I'm not going to lie. When he said his technology wasn't working this morning, I was like, sweet, so I can go back to bed? Cool.
Unfortunately, it just doesn't work that way.
See, that's the difference, Heather. That's the difference between just starting out and you're a rookie and you're doing your first show tomorrow to Jamie's 1,000th.
Salty in no time. Yeah.
1,241 episodes.
Oh, well, you know, I just plan on drinking a ton of coffee in the morning, so I'll be ready.
I thought she was going to say, I just plan on drinking a ton of alcohol. That would work too, Heather, by the way.
I might put a little something in my coffee. No, just kidding.
Bloody Mary might get a good start to the day. I think Jamie does that some days, actually.
No comment.
Now, tell us about your guests for your first episode.
So tomorrow I have Fallon Taylor. She's the 2014 world champion barrel racer. Most people know who she is. She's amazing. She has a great story. And then Lorinda Van Newkirk. She's the president of Gypsy Soul. And occasionally she's going to do the fashion segment as well, along with Amy Morehouse, her VP of the company.
Well, I think it's cool. We don't do a lot on fashion, but that is so important in the Western world.
It is. It is. Especially, I have a lot of rodeo queens that will be listening in, and we'll have Miss Rodeo America And they'll be doing a new segment as well. So, you know, fashion definitely ties into every bit of it.
Well, I must say, my cousin, her daughter is Miss Rodeo North Texas Fair.
Oh, really?
And they just had the big fair over the weekend. And I've been following on Facebook all these blingy outfits her mom's been making and these like cowboy hat with all this gold. And she's also a barrel racer. So she made her entrance into I know nothing about this. So I'm going to listen just so I can learn, but made her entrance and she galloped around the arena and slammed on the, but she's also a reiner. I mean, just it's these girls that do the rodeo fairs. I got to give it up, man. They can ride.
Yes, they can. It's exciting. And, you know, that's one thing that is near and dear to my heart. The rodeo queens a lot of times aren't given the credit that they deserve. People don't realize that they're more than just a pretty face. They really, truly are great horse. They do great horsemanship. They are great stewards to the rodeo industry, out spreading the word and bringing in new fans. So to have them as part of the show and to help get that out there is important to me.
Okay, so I have to admit, when she said we were going to have rodeo queens on, I went, horse husband approved. Sounded good to me.
Well, they're pretty too. That's true.
They are beautiful, that's for sure. And, you know, my company name is Country Girl Glitz. So, you know, I always say shiny is my favorite color. So, of course, I love rodeo queens. Everything about their fashion world.
Shiny is my favorite color. I love it. That's great.
Heather, I'm looking forward to this. We'll be doing the show live, hopefully, tomorrow morning here on Horses. I'm going to figure it out today. It's the last thing I do. I'll get it figured out. We will be here live tomorrow morning. Thank you so much, Heather, and I'm looking forward to working with you.
Thank you. Talk to you in the morning.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye. She got a little Southern accent coming out there after you said that. I think she turned it on a bit.
Well, I wanted to let her know it was a safe place.
You know, she's a super sweet girl and has really quite a following on her Women in Rodeo on Facebook and everything that she does new media-wise. So I think she's the right one to host this and to do it, and we're looking forward to that. We also will be starting in September the Horse Husbands episode.
Nice.
Tim from Elisa Wallace's husband, who does horsehubby.com, is going to be hosting. We set down some rules. We have to record it ahead because he like has a real job. So we're going to record it ahead, but it is going to be on Horses in the Morning. And it's going to, we have a couple rules we've set down for doing this show. One is we're going to record it in the evening and that all members of the staff and the guests have to be imbibing in alcohol. So that's one rule. The second rule is there's no women. We're not letting women on the show at all. It's just going to be us guys sitting around having fun talking about what it's like to be a horse husband. And then we're going to have some famous and not so famous horse husbands on. And I think it's going to be the most listened to episode that we do.
Very possible. Very possible. Although the media requests that you keep sending my husband to book him on the show, he's busy. He can't do it.
My guess is he hasn't seen any of them, is my guess.
I don't know what he just got back in town and showed up with another horse on the property. So he's not available to talk to you.
You know, it would make sense to have him as one of our first guests.
He's not available. He's busy.
I really think it would. I'm going to have to. I wonder if there's a way I can call him at the base. Because none of my calls are getting through at the house.
I'm sorry. I'm losing you right now. What? I got to go. Yeah.
Yeah, especially if he's had alcohol, you probably don't want him on the show.
Yeah.
The truth comes out.
Not going to happen. You can keep trying.
But Tim, I'm looking forward to doing that show with you. It should be a lot of fun. That's coming up here in September as well. So we got new stuff coming up. And what else was there? Any other programming stuff? Jamie will be back on Wednesday, but I think otherwise I need to get off of here so I can go figure out why everything is not working or what I broke in my travels. Something.
Sounds good.
Figure that out. Thank you so much, Jamie. It's good to talk to you. Congratulations again on the new one.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's going to be an exciting adventure, which many of the listeners have already messaged me saying that they can't wait to follow this one along.
Yeah. Thanks. Now, did you get rid of an old one? or?
No, I will. I will have to. We're going to revisit that in the fall.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. I didn't know if that was one of the rules Chad had, was something's got to go. You know, you have to get
rid
of
it. We haven't really, really locked down what we're going to do with that. So it's still a negotiation at this point. So we'll see.
It was funny because somebody said to me, well, didn't she just get Thor? And I said, yeah.
That was in February. Hello.
Was it that long ago?
Well, it was kind of, it was like the end of February. So yeah, I've had him like 6 months. He's
wow, it
he's
seems
old
like
news
you just
now.
Got him. It seems like you just got him.
That was 5 months ago.
Wow.
It's time for a new one.
Like cookies, you can never have too many.
Exactly. Although I do want another Mustang. He's so
you might have to wait till you move to your new farm in Oklahoma for that.
God, that's going to be trouble. I have 8 horses. The problem is, Glenn, I keep selling horses, but they won't leave. They keep being boarded here. So it's
which is
great.
A nice problem. Yeah.
It's a nice problem. And I was down to like 2 horses that were mine for a minute. And now I'm up to 4 and 4 that aren't mine. So at least the 4 that aren't mine are covering the amount of feed for the horses that are, until I got the giant giraffe. He kind of eats more than everybody. But anyway, it's going to be awesome. I will figure it out later. I'm not worried about it right now. I can't talk.
All right. Very good. Thank you, everybody. We'll talk to you again tomorrow morning. Heather will be here.
Sounds good. Spay, neuter, geld, everybody.